Gimel Adar Rishon, Monday the 7th of February, Rabbi Meir Pogro, Adar and the Middle of Schok, Laughter.
Good morning. I thank you for the opportunity. And when Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt contacted me to pick a subject, I said to myself, what am I going to do? I'm coming, it's the Parsha of Binyas HaMishkan. I'm going to come from Eretz Yisrael. What are we going to talk about? I'm going to give a shiur about how the Mizbeach HaChiton, as opposed to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, there's a din of Imola Lo Yered and how they differ. Probably it wouldn't be considered to be a Dover HaShava L'chol Nefesh. Thank you. And therefore, I felt that perhaps an Inyan or Machshava would be considered to be, to some extent, a Dover HaShava L'chol Nefesh. And being that it's a Chodesh Adar, and it's a particularly significant Chodesh Adar for myself. And I'll start with the Milsa de Vidichusa, just that we can relax a little bit and I can get a little bit into the field to gauge your response. I was mentioning to somebody yesterday that it took me 27 years, but finally I was Michael, a friend of mine. He did no crime, except that he was born 14 hours before me. You see, in the year my birthday is Rosh Chodesh Adar. And the year that we became Bar Mitzvah, it was a childhood friend of mine. There were two Adars, and I had to wait until Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni to celebrate my Bar Mitzvah, which is a very, very difficult thing for a child. We only put on tefillin by us 1 month before. I understand many of the Yekishto people have different menagim 3 months before and so on. I had a friend who was born 14 hours earlier. His birthday was Lamed Shvat, 20 minutes before Shkia. The year we became Bar Mitzvah, his Bar Mitzvah was Beis Adar Aleph. Yeah, Beis Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. In other words, this past Shabbos. And I only put on tefillin the next morning and had to wait another month. And it hurt me tremendously. He was only 14 hours older, and his Bar Mitzvah was 31 days. It hurt me tremendously, tremendously, tremendously. And I've made a joke for 27 years. I'm turning 40 in Rosh Hashanah in a month. And I've made a joke for 27 years how I didn't forgive him for being born 14 hours earlier. Until this year.
You had more time to prepare, you're lucky.
Until this year. Because on Shabbos, Friday night at the Shabbos table, I realized he was celebrating his 40th birthday and I had another month to go. So it took me 27 years, but I was finally Michael. So Adar has a particular affinity with myself. I always tell my mother that I never heard the Memra Chazal, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha, before I was born. And therefore it must have been on account of my birth. She said, not true, the Malach taught it to you long before you ever came out. Chachmas Marsham, the wisdom of my mother. Be it as it may, the concept in the Midah of Adar in general is a very, very fascinating one. Generally speaking, we find in the course of life that usually young people laugh a lot more than older people. Usually life is funny when you're carefree, when you have no responsibilities, and the more you become more responsible and you have more things to worry about. And my mother always likes to say, it's amazing, the first 20 years you have to raise your kids, the next 20 years they come to you for yontif, the 20 years afterwards, right, they don't leave you alone, then they don't take care of you when you get very much older, and then afterwards, when they finally come, after 120, they come to the levaya, they ask you to be a melech tzoyisha, they still don't give you any, they don't give you any menuchas hanefesh afterwards. So usually we find that things are funnier when people are younger, they're carefree, they don't have responsibility. And as people become older, life becomes more serious, more responsible, and you don't find people laughing as much. And yet, in the concept of Chazal, the whole midah of schoik, the whole midah of laughter, is always rooted in the future. We say it every time before Birkas HaMazon, and Shabbos, and Yontif, or Shchodesh, whatever it is. Oz yimalei schoik pinu. Chazal, the Gemara, and Brachos, and Daflam, and Aleph tell us that a person is not allowed to be memalik piv schoik ba'olam hazeh, shenemar, because the pasuk says, oz yimalei schoik pinu. Only, yeah, you have to make it a little lower, because I'm very loud. You have to, that oz yimalei schoik pinu in the future, we will be memali our piv schoik, and therefore in Olam Hazeh we don't see a picture enough for a person to be sochik, for a person to laugh. In Eish Haskayel, also on Friday night, very strange pasuk. Oiz v'hoder levusha v'tischak liyoyim acharoin. On the yoyim acharoin, right, on a person's last day, very, very rare to find a person who's chuckling, who's laughing on their last day. It would seem that it's a moment for the greatest serenity, for the greatest introspection, reflection on life. And where is this concept of the midah of schoik come up? We'll try to be mekatzer. The one thing that I've learned about giving shiurim when people are up against the clock and going to work, the shiur can never be too short, and 30 seconds can be too long. So therefore, I have been warned, but I also have a brain, and Amir Tashem will try Lefidar Kenu to be Makatzer as much as possible.
Nobody works here.
Nobody works. I have to work. In the Midos, very interesting thing that Chazal set up in the concept of time. Maybe we'll just give a little bit of an introduction so we can be sensitive to it a little bit. We understand time, even as Yidden, very often we understand time as commemorative. Certain events happened in our history over the course of time at specific dates. Pesach happened at Tesva of Nisan. Many events happened on Tesva of Nisan, like we say in the Haggadah of Ayiba Chatzi HaLaila. And therefore, every year, Tesva of Nisan, we commemorate these events, Terecheiros, Avrakosos, whatever is involved. Other events occurred on Shavuos, other events occurred on Simchas Torah, other events occurred on Tisha B'Av, and so on and so forth. And we understand that even if we're nice, good, wholesome from Yidden, that we commemorate these events throughout history. The truth is that it's exactly the opposite. In other words, when you're looking at a perspective of Chazal, one needs to ask, what caused these events to happen when they did, as opposed to why do we celebrate the commemoration of these particular events? Chazal, in a nutshell, tell us, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ba'asara ma'amores nivra ha'olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with 10 ma'amores. The first of these ma'amores is Bereishis. The other 9 ma'amores we could look and we could investigate what Hashem created. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rokia, Vayomer Elokim Yikavu Amayim, Vayomer Elokim Yishutzu Amayim. So we can see what the Ribbono Shel Olam created in the other ma'amores. The Gemara says, Bereishis Nami Ma'ama, Bereishis is one of the Asara Ma'amaras. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam create with this first Ma'amar known as Bereishis? The answer to this question is that the Ribbono Shel Olam created what we call time with the Ma'amar of Bereishis. And we understand time to mean the scientific faculty of time. If time happens to pass and there's a movement of energy and so on, that's how we measure time. But the truth is that in Lashon HaKodesh itself, the word Zman, think about it, if you just think about it for a second, the word Zman means that things are actually prepared to unfold. The word that something is Mizuman, that something is prepared. In fact, even when we are Mekayim in the Mitzvah of Zimun, when we get together, it means that people have designated themselves, if you were, pardon the pun, ahead of time to be, right, to be associated with a certain event. So the words of man simply means the Ribbono Shel Olam's unfolding his plan of all of the events for the entire world history in a, if you will, predetermined fashion. In fact, the word Bereishis is what very much brings into question the entire stira on a cosmic level between the Ribbono Shel Olam's idea and every person's bechira. That is where the stira is rooted. That is where it's rooted. On the one hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam unfolds events to take place specifically in a designated pattern, zman, that's what Bereishis is. And on the other hand, we believe that we interact with the Bria in terms of only humans are subject to this. Everything else does exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam put in their DNA to do. But we as humans interact with the Bria in a fashion in which we have our own mechira, we have our own choices to go ahead and interact, if you will, with that predetermined plan. That's not the scope of this speech. I'm more than willing to speak for 4 hours on this subject of Yediyah and Bechira, but for right now I'm just trying to illustrate what the Ribbono Shel Olam's concept of time really is about. So let's, for example, just take one example to investigate this from the concept of cosmic events as they unfold. So for example, when Rashi tells us in Parshas Vayera that the Malachim came to Loit and Stein, and the Chumash tells us, U'matzleis Afa, that Loit baked matzos and Stein, Vayachelu and the Malachim made believe, as it were, that they were eating matzos and Stein. Which of course begs the question, that's very, very nice, it is Pesach, but it's Pesach before Pesach ever occurred. Pesach and Stein by light, right, is happening 400 plus years before Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim. And the Torah seems to be narrating in Parshas Bari that the reason we eat matzah is because the Hispik Maseko Mahachlis, Klal Yisrael was ushered out of Mitzrayim by the Mitzrayim in a fashion in which they didn't have time for their bread to leaven, so they had to run out. And therefore, we commemorate Pesach by eating matzah simply because we commemorate the event that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they didn't allow their dough to rise, and therefore, there were matzahs in Mitzrayim, they're matzahs now. It always boggled my mind how matzahs can be so expensive. If you think about it, they happened by mistake in Mitzrayim that first year, right? Right? They put the bread into the oven, there was the flour and the water, and the Mitzriim knocked on the door and they said, sorry, these things aren't going to be let them be turned into challahs or pitot or whatever it is, get out of here. And how did that go from there to 20 pound a kilo? I mean, how exactly did that happen? It always, it's a nupshat on lechem ayni, lechem that makes you poor. It's not one in Chazal, but it's a nupshat on lechem ayni. Be it as it may, if this were the idea behind eating matzahs to commemorate the event that happened to take place in Mitzrayim, there's no business for matzahs being eaten in Mitzrayim. Doesn't make any sense why Lloyd is baking matzahs that night, years ahead of time. The answer to the question is that Pesach Mitzrayim is an event that unfolds because, if you will, of the predetermination of time. Whatever energy, spiritual energy, that the Ribbono Shel Olam puts into the Bria that causes events to unfold, that is what causes, it's causative, that causes events to unfold. Long before Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim on Tesvav Nisan, there is an inherent connection between Tesvav Nisan and between Klal Yisrael, and between Achilas Matzos, hence Lotan Stone, hence all the things that happen on Tesvav Nisan, that are the friction between Golos and Geula that we mentioned, whether it's the Ribbono Shel Olam coming to Lavan in the Chaloyim, whether it's the war between Avram Avinu and the Arba Malachim that comes before, long before Pesach Mitzrayim. These things are realities that exist in the Bria, and events, cataclysmic events that take place on this pattern of time simply are fitting in, if you will, to the predetermined pattern that the Ribbono Shel Olam has developed within time. It works the other way as well. Just to give you another example, Tisha B'Av is a day where we seem to commemorate all the bad things that happened to Klal Yisrael. The first such bad thing that happens to Klal Yisrael is the Cher HaMeraglim. The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tainus lists that Chamisha Devarim, five things occurred to Aviseinu on Tisha B'Av. And the first of these events is the Gezerah of the Meraglim, that we wouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you think about it for a second, we're all familiar with the Rashi and Chumash, that Rashi tells us in Parsha Shalach, when the Meraglim came back and gave their bad report, the Pasuk says, Vatisa kol ha'am, they raised their voices and they cried. Rashi says, Atem b'chisem b'chiyo shalchiram, quoting this Gemara in Maseches Tainus, you cried for naught, for no good reason. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, boy will I for eternity, for history, give you good reason to cry. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon was charev on Tisha B'Av, that's why the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, Nilkut HaBeitar, and so on and so forth. Very powerful, very emotional, at the root of our Yiddishkeit, we believe, therefore, Mishenichlas Av Mimata Misimcha, and conversely, Mishenichlas Ador Marmi Misimcha. There's only one interesting anecdotal point about that first event that we commemorate on Tisha B'Av, and that is, Tisha B'Av should have never happened on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara makes the accounting of the days on when the Meraglim went out to Eretz Yisrael for a 40-day spying, and when they came back, and so on and so forth. And again, for the sake of brevity, the Gemara makes the cheshbon that the Meraglim actually came back on the afternoon of the 9th of Av, and therefore the report in Klal Yisrael crying should have occurred on the night of 10th of Av. Now, it may be true that Tisha B'Av has a better ring to it than Esar B'Av, but that's just because we're used to it that way, right? So the Gemara asks, "What? Is that true? Tisha B'Av never happened on Tisha B'Av. It happened on the 10th of Av." And the Gemara gives a very strange answer, and we learn a halacha from this. The Torah does not call Rosh Chodesh Amayim, meaning in Torah Shemichsav and Chamisha Chomshei Torah, the Torah does not call Rosh Chodesh Amayim. The Chiyuv Su'uda on Rosh Chodesh as a Moed is derived actually from a Pasuk in Eicha. The fact that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed is derived from the Pasuk in Eicha, which says, Kara Alay Moed Lishboir Bachurai. And the Gemara says, this Moed refers to the Moed of Rosh Chodesh, that the Ribbono Shel Olam made an unbelievable astronomical event. He delayed the rebirth of the moon by a full 24 hours, such that Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, which was one of the days where the Meraglim were out, Rosh Chodesh Av, which was during the period of when they were spying in Eretz Yisrael, actually occurred astronomically a day later. In other words, Tammuz should have been 29 days, and instead of Tammuz being 29 days, the Ribbono Shel Olam made Tammuz 30 days. So the Meraglim, instead of coming back on the afternoon of the 9th of Av, happened to come back on the afternoon of 8th of Av, because Rosh Chodesh had been delayed in the announcing by a day. Fascinating thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam announced the Moed of Rosh Chodesh. He created an astronomical event to delay the whole system, the whole galaxy, to delay the Chidush HaLevara by an entire 24 hours. And therefore, says the Gemara, it so happened that the Meraglim came back on the afternoon of the 8th of Av, and the crying and the mourning and the rejection of going into Eretz Yisrael therefore occurred on the night of the 9th of Av. There's only one problem. This was the first event that occurred on Tisha B'Av. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam need to go through hoops, so to speak, to arrange and orchestrate that the Levana should only be Mischadish a day later so the Meragim should come back on the afternoon of the day? Let it be! Let the Meragim come back on the 9th of Av. Let Klal Yisrael cry on the night of the 10th of Av. And tell Klal Yisrael, listen, you're going to cry on the night of 10th of Av. I'm going to make Choron Abayis on the night of 10th of Av, and I'm going to make the destruction of Beit Ar on the night of 10th of Av. Who needed the Ribbono Shel Olam to intervene with the Bria to orchestrate that it should happen the first time that it should take place on Tisha B'Av? Once again, we see time as causative. That is, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam built the calendar as we know it in time, the Ribbono Shel Olam invested spiritual energies in particular calendar dates and themes and web and ebbs and flows of time, that if things were going to happen, these times were auspicious, were miyuah, for the opportunity for great things, Simcha, Schoik, and others on the one hand, and Chas v'Chalila for Peronius on the other hand. This is the proper understanding in a nutshell. This is the proper understanding what time, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, is really about. And therefore, when we celebrate holidays, when we celebrate months, when Chazal tells us, Mishenichnas Adar, Marvim Misimcha, Mishenichnas Av Mimatim Misimcha, what Chazal are telling us, not that there happen to have been events in the history that therefore reflect good news or bad news for the Jews and so on and so forth, but Chazal are telling us about tapping into the koichos and the bria itself that the Ribbono Shel Olam has orchestrated for a person to understand that these are the factors at play, if you will. Again, in the Mahalach HaChaim, schoik at the end is a very strange thing. So now that we have a certain sensitivity to time, if one would look in the Sefer Yetzirah, one would see that basically the Aleph Beis is broken into three categories. I don't want to be marach over here about this point. The Aleph Beis is broken into three categories of 3, 7, and 12, which if you think about it for a second, is very much the way structures of time are broken down to, whether it's the Shalosh Regolim and the 7 days of the week and the 12 months of the year. And in Sefer Yetzirah, they parallel the formative, the aspect of creation and the midah of the month, the letter of the month, the personality of the month, if you will, in the Shevet. Be it as it may, the Sefer Yetzirah goes through a lengthy list, and in Chodesh Adar, the Sefer Yetzirah says, it's the Ois Kuf, Shevet Yosef, according to the Arizal's version of the Sefer Yetzirah, and the midah of Schoik in Adar. Now, regardless of whether you hold B'nisan Nivra Olam or Tishrei Nivra Olam, that's only Lagabi the din of Rosh Hashanah, that we say, says the Gemara, that we say Ayom Haras Olam on Rosh Hashanah, according to Nachita, but Lagabi all the Chishu of Tkufos, Mazolos, and time, it's all calculated based on Nisan, because of the Pasuk HaChodesh HaZalochem, Rosh Chodashim, and therefore, for the calculations of time, the year works Nisan through Adar. Let us briefly, for a few moments, understand what this concept of Schoik, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective, is all about. We find many people in Tanakh, mostly in Torah Shebichtav, that are named for certain events, or certain feelings, or certain emotions. And it's something which in it itself is nifla lizbon, and a person should really think about it for a second. You know, imagine a person was taking his wife to the hospital, she was in labor, and they were in the cab, or on the ambulance, on Shabbos, or whatever, and when he was getting out of the door, he tripped on the opening of the door to get into the hospital. So he decided, you know what, I'm going to name my son Trippy. So we would laugh at such a thing. But if you open up Parshas Vayetze, and you see how the Shvatim are named one after another, Ki Ro Hashem Ba'oni, Ki Shama Hashem, Ki Sunu Anoichi, Ato Hapam Yilo Ve'ishi Yilai, Hapam Oides Hashem. Okay, Hapam Oides Hashem, Yehuda's a little bit normal, right? Hapam Yisbeleini, Yishod, Donani. Every one of the Shvatim has a name which would be the equivalent of Trippy. You know what I'm saying? It's a very, very funny thing. So it's something which is strange. Even stranger is when people are called Hashem Ha'asi. When the Torah narrates, for example, about Yaakov, why Yitzchak called Yaakov Yaakov, Yaakov should have been called Akev. Not Yaakov, right? Yaakov is Hashem, the future, right? Yaakov is Hashem, the future, then. Oh, he'll still be holding Ba'akev Esau at the end of time. We're going to focus, for the purpose of our conversation, since we're talking about Adar and Tzchoik, we're going to focus on Yitzchak. Yitzchak's very funny, right? His name is funny. That's his name. And it's a very strange name. When you translate it to English, I always say Art Scroll did us a disservice by transliterating instead of translating names. Had they translated names instead of transliterated names, we would all be sensitive to this, right? If Art Scroll would have translated Yitzchak as funny man, or he will laugh, we would all look at the Chumash and go, huh? But because they didn't bother doing that, or because they just write Yitzchak or Isaac or whatever it is, it's like, oh yeah, it's like my friend Isaac, I got down the block or whatever it is. But we never think about it. But it's a Dover Niflo Lizboni. Yitzchak is called Yitzchak, and why? So there are two schokes, there are two laughters of Sarah. There's the laughter of Sarah that she originally laughs when she gets the report from the Malachim that she's going to have a child. And when Avraham Avinu confronts her that she laughed, the Pasuk tells us that Sarah lies, she rejects. She's fearful to admit the fact that she laughed. The same Sarah Imenu who is fearful to admit to Avraham Avinu that she laughed, when Sarah gives birth to Yitzchak, the Torah says, Sarah said, the timer Sarah, right? Says the Pasuk, the same Sarah Imani, she laughs twice. Once she laughs at the report, and she lies to Avraham Avinu. She lies to Avraham Avinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies to Avraham Avinu to keep the Shoah intact. In the basis of Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that Sarah said, right? Sarah had said, V'adoyni zakeh. And Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Sarah said, V'ani zakeh. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to change Sarah's psyche and Sarah's lie to protect the Shalom Bayis of this couple that's probably been married for many, many years and probably had a good marriage. And yet the same Sarah Imenu, when she has Yitzchak, she laughs again, and Avraham Avinu says, good, this is Adnomen, V'yikari Shemai V'Yisrael Yitzchak. And why Yitzchak? If you're going to name him because Sarah laughed, you should name him Tzchak. Right? Why are you going to name him Yitzchak? You should name him Tzchak. There are two types of Tzchak in the world, and both of them are embodied by Sarah Imenu. And even the first Tzchak of Sarah Imenu is embodied in the Leitzane Hador when Yitzchak is born as well. Rashi tells us on the spot that why did Sarah need to nurse many other children? All the people brought children to Sarah, and she nursed them because only a woman who herself had her own child could nurse. And the pasuk, the Gemara says, Rashi quotes that the Leitzani Hador were saying, Avimelech Nisabra Sarah, that when Sarah was taken and captive by Avimelech, the timing was just such that it could have been, statistically, medically speaking, in other words, on the timeline, it could have been that Avimelech was Yitzchak's father. And everybody said, look, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a number of things. One, he made Yitzchak look exactly like Avraham Avinu. Two, he allowed Sarah to nurse all the other children, so it was clear that she herself had a child, various nisim. There is the yisoid that we find everywhere about the concept of tzchak. If you think about it for a second, what really makes us laugh? And why is it that sometimes we laugh, but the person who's the subject of our laughter does not find it funny at all? Right? If you think about it, the more dramatic the scenario, right? The greater the pomp of the person who is the subject of the ridicule, the funnier it is. Right? If you can imagine, right, the queen or the king or whatever it is, slipping on a banana peel. Right? And all of a sudden there's the royal pomp and the guard and this and that, whatever, and all of a sudden, psh, down the red carpet, they go fly. Right? So, you may be afraid that somebody's going to kill you if they catch you laughing, right? But we would find it hilariously funny. Right? Now, of course, the other person may have had their back herniated, the discs in their back herniated, they don't find it funny at all. But we find that hilariously funny. The concept of tzchak in Chazal, always in one word, is irony. The greater the irony, the greater the tzchak that we experience. Everybody knows it's true in every joke that you tell. The greater the suspense towards the punchline, or the greater you can take a person into a certain direction and then shock them with the change in the punchline, right? The better received the joke is going to be. Now that's not necessarily true tzchak, that's just the physical reaction to tzchak. Because sometimes, while it may be funny for us, it's not inherently funny because that person was hurt, right? And there's nothing inherently funny about that. So for example, you could find certain events in Chazal, in the Torah itself, where you see this degree of irony, but the Torah doesn't speak of tzchak, because it's not true tzchak. When Yosef HaTzadik, right, when Yosef HaTzadik comes along, and he leads the brothers down the path, it's one of the most ironic stories in history. The brothers come down to Mitzrayim, they think they're being taken into captivity, or Shimon is being taken into captivity, they're afraid that Binyamin is being brought to take into captivity. Yosef then puts the Gavia in Binyamin's Amtachas, and they're going to take Yosef and Binyamin into captivity. All the fears of the Shvatim are materializing, they're all going in a certain direction, and all of a sudden Yosef changes the irony, changes the whole situation with the words, and Yosef, and it explains everything in one second. The Torah doesn't say that the brothers laughed because it wasn't funny to them. We, as a movie script, Lahavdil, would have found that perhaps hilarious, right? Ironic. But to the brothers itself, it wasn't funny. The nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with Yitzchak, which is a microcosm of the way Klal Yisrael survives in the Bria throughout history, is the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made multiple impossible events. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu, where Chazal say that Avram Avinu's inherent teva was that he could not father a child. Chazal tells us that the reason, one of the reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change Avram Avinu's name from Avram to Avraham was because that changed his inherent mazel to be able to have children. Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha is alluding to this when the pasuk says, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Nun Vav, "Vayoytzei Yisrael Achutza, Vayomer Abenu Asher Vaymo Sefer HaKoychavim." So Rashi tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, "Tzei Mitzdakninu Shulcha, go ahead from your astrology. It's true that Avram cannot be Milut." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a man who cannot have a nation, he can't have children. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a woman, Sara Imenu, where the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamot HaDaf Sarach Dawud, where the pasuk says, "Vatehi Sarai Akora Ein Lo Valad." So the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Akora Ein Lo Valad? If she has no, if she's an Akora, she has no children. So the Gemara says, Ein Lo Valad means she had no womb, she had no capacity to have children. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes two parents, each of which it's impossible physiologically, metaphysically, and so on, to have children. And from them, the Ribbono Shel Olam creates an Ummah of Nitzchias. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes that same child, Yitzchak HaTzadik, and Yitzchak is born, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Avraham Avinu a tzavah, v'haleu le'ayla, to bring him as a korban. And Chazal metaphorically speak about the fact how Afreisho Yitzchak, the Afer of Yitzchak, is tzavar al gabi ha-mizbeach. Yitzchak, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Lamed says, was mechadish the bracha. We know Yitzchak was mechadish the second bracha of Shmona Esrei. Yitzchak's Gevura. When did Yitzchak say the bracha of Nemon Ato Lahachi Es Meisim Baruch Ato Hashem Mechaya Meisim? Yitzchak out of fear at the Akedah. Yes, Avraham Avinu had been commanded Al Tishlach Yod Chavana, but at the Akedah, because of fear, Yitzchak Parcha Nishmosa. Yitzchak died at the Akedah. End of the Ummah. End of the story. And from there, the Ribbono Shel Olam brings forth an Asid to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called in a number of places, in Yirmiyah, the most famous pasuk, Aben Yaker the Ephraim. Chazal say that Ephraim is double the Lashon of Efer. It refers to Avram Avinu who says, Anoichi Ofer Va'efer, and it refers to Yitzchak, where Afreshel Yitzchak is Sover Amonach Agavim Mizbeach. I'll finish within 2 minutes. When Yitzchak, when Avram Avinu says, Anoichi Ofer Va'efer, Yitzchak tells, Avram Avinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu the following. Ofer is something which has no past. Has no past. But it has a future. You can build something from clay, from dirt. You can make something. Efer is something which has no future. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Efer is lav bar gibul. You can't turn it into any mass. Avraham Avinu tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm coming from nowhere, me'atzmi, on my own, and I'm going nowhere. Yitzchak HaTzadik, his history has to end. And from there, the Ribbono Shel Olam shows us how throughout the course of Jewish history, that's the nature of Klal Yisrael. All the events b'derech hateva lead themselves in a certain direction in which it seems survival of the Jewish people is impossible. A Yeshua is impossible. And mitoich, at the moment that that situation, the greater the irony is created, and the more impossible it becomes, the greater the upheaval, the greater the irony, and the greater for the true schoik. The schoik of the Ksil, the first schoik of Sarah, that she laughed, that Avraham Avinu wasn't allowed to be told about, was the schoik of disbelief. It's the psyche of the child who is in the moment laughing and everything seems glorious and wonderful and says, you old people don't know how to live. You don't know how to appreciate life. We know how to appreciate life. The second psyche of Sarah is the psyche of the reality of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the nes, took the prediction that she would have a child, which seemed impossible to the greatest of ma'aminim at the time that it was given. And 1 year later, the Ribbono Shel Olam materialized it. And it is this psyche, this irony, that shows us that even though the Klal Yisrael is on a path where B'derech HaTeva can't possibly exist, that is the greatest irony. Of course, the Nes of Purim is exactly all about this. On the outward manifestation, it's all impossible. Haman is the leading person in the kingdom of Achashverosh. Mordechai on the surface, lo yichrav lo yishtachave, is contributing to the demise of Klal Yisrael. Is that not true? He's contributing to the demise. And because of that, Haman is enraged. He builds gallows. And only the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end can take this and turn this all around. That all of the actions that looked like they were causing the very demise of Klal Yisrael become the very root that causes the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. Hence we celebrate Mishenichnas Adar, we start to build towards that level of Simcha, towards the level of Tzlik, and the realization how HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the events. We can't foresee it, but we certainly look forward to it. Have a wonderful day.